real soft spot. Their daughter just got her period, which gives them 4 days to have her blessed by their Gahei. Chato invited Slitnose to the ceremony. She got there early and sent us this video.
The screen displayed a wide stretch of dried badlands under a blanket of bright stars. Scanty scrub growth competed with dry rocks to cover the space.
We have no idea where it is, but we're hoping it wouldn't matter.
It won't.
In and out. We want Chato alive if possible, but we'll accept his death if you can recover the body. It's critical that all the Mescalero people know he's down, but not how he got that way. Alive would be better because Chato can hopefully confirm some ideas we have on where the heart of the insurgency is located. Slitnose will meet you at the infill point and take you to the ceremony. There'll be one Gahei there, but that shouldn't...
We don't speak Apache, sir.
It's what they call their mountain gods. They look scary, but their bark is worse than their bite. Trust me, this'll be a cakewalk. I'll come along to translate, but once you make the assault, I'm hanging back. I wouldn't want to get underfoot. Just remember, Slitnose may be on our side, but she's still Apache. You don't trust her 1 inch more than you have to.
Why can't she just lead you to the ceremony?
BIA doesn't want in on this op. We've got enough of a public relations disaster out here. Chato's a wild animal who needs to be put down, but the press isn't going to spin it that way. He needs to drop inexplicably. It needs to look like, well, like magic.
How do you know she won't betray us?
We've been in touch with this particular person for some time. The only person she hates more than me is Chato. And we've got an added bonus. Puberty ceremonies are usually held in the presence of ancestors. They'll probably meet the Gahei on a burial ground.
That means corpses.
Lots of them. The Mescalero have been using the same burial plots for centuries.
Well, all right.
Last equipment check.
The Coven slammed magazines into pistols and tightened the straps on their body armor.
Stay on my six, and remember, these aren't goblins, and they sure as hell aren't tar babies. These are selfers and no friend of ours. Stay frosty, and for the love of all that's holy, do as you're fucking told. There'll be at least 30 men at this ceremony, and that's a conservative estimate.
Too easy. We're the magic behind the magic, remember?
Damn straight.
Britton glanced at the video one more time and opened a gate on the flat expanse. They stepped through onto the starlit plain. Slitnose greeted them, eyes defiant.
Dagote.
How do you say hello in Apache?
No need. I speak English. We're not all dumb Indians out here, no matter what this asshole tells you.
We don't have time for this bullshit. Let's get this show on the road.
It's your show from here on in. Good luck.
Day stepped back through the gate and was gone. Slitnose surveyed Shadow Coven for a moment, then shouldered a hunting rifle and moved off into the night.
So you guys are Special Army, huh?
We're interested parties, ma'am. We want to see peace restored to the Apache Nation.
We won't be there for a while. Nobody can hear us here but rabbits.
All the same, ma'am, we'd rather not talk. The sooner we take custody of your husband, the sooner we can return to peaceful relationships between our peoples.
No peaceful relationships, White Eyes. You get your man, then you leave.
They followed Slitnose in silence for about 10 minutes before she stopped them, just shy of a stack of abandoned cars strewn with trash. Firelight flickered on the horizon. Britton could barely make out the specks of black shapes around it. In the center was a series of white domes, canvas wiki-ups.
All right. Keystone, I need you and Prometheus on the far side of the ring. Can you sight it from here?
I can get off to the side. We should be well covered by darkness. Who's going to take care of you, sir?
Oh, I think we'll manage.
About his feet, a small throng of jackrabbits, spiders, and snakes had already gathered in ordered columns beside four coyotes. As Britton watched, one stepped forward, sitting back on its haunches and saluting smartly.
We got more inbound.
Okay, I've got a good spot.
Fitzy nodded, tapping the comlink in his ear.
I'll radio when it's showtime. Warn me if you see anything from that angle that I should know about.
A moment later, Britton and Downer crouched behind a broken boulder covered with painted handprints, barely discernible in the darkness. A small crowd of Apache, mostly men, were dressed in jeans and t-shirts. They surrounded a circle of white canvas wiki-ups with no evidence of ceremony. Britton pulled night vision binoculars from his belt and sighted down them. In the distance, he could make out Fitzy, Richards, and Truelove approaching at a crouch. Richards' small army of animals slunk along behind them. Slitnose must have bugged out. Britton and Downer jogged to crouch behind an abandoned car that offered a better view of the circle. They were getting close. He couldn't count the number of people around the canvas domes, but they were far more than 30. Downer paused, beginning to stand until he yanked her down.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Something. Can you feel that?
Britton paused, focusing. The cold air made his shirt stick to him beneath his armor, his ball cap itching on his brow. The magical currents on the home plane were so much fainter than the source that he had scarcely noticed them, despite so many selfers in one place. But once he focused, he picked up one current stronger than the rest, and close. He moved to open a gate, and his magic rolled back. An elbow crashed into his ear, smashing the comlink. Four men emerged from the car they had chosen as their hiding place. Two wore jeans and t-shirts, pistols in their hands. The other two were stripped to the waist, their bodies painted entirely black. Their heads were enclosed in horned wooden masks, carved surfaces painted with leering, fanged smiles. The magical current, now suppressing Britton's own, came from one of them. The selfer suppressing Britton reached down and unsnapped Britton's holster, retrieving his pistol. The other selfer advanced on Downer, who had begun to backpedal.
1-1, this is Prometheus.
One of the other men raised his pistol to her face.
Psst, don't be stupid. Give me your gun.
He turned to the masked Apache selfer suppressing her.
She's got the current.
They both do. How many more of you are there? You got nothing to say, White Eyes? Maybe I'll fuck it out of you. Maybe you'll scream loud enough for your friends to come. Your boyfriend here can watch.
One of the men pinned her elbows behind her back, while the second covered Britton at a gesture from the masked Apache. The masked Apache nodded to the selfer suppressing Britton, who turned his current to suppress Downer, while the other selfer dropped his suppression.
Watch and learn.
The masked Apache eased his manhood out of his trousers.
That's too small to make me scream.
Huh? White Eyes, bitch! I've got something for you.
The selfer burst into flame below the waist. Suddenly, a gate snapped open through the neck of the selfer standing closest to Britton. Downer felt the suppression drop.
Oh, you've got something for me, all right.
Two elementals sprang from the fire around the remaining selfer's crotch. The first leapt at the man covering Downer. The second darted between her legs. The man behind her released her arms.
Shit! Ah! Ah!
The masked selfer ran for the circle. The circle erupted in response. A few jumped into the air, and others burst into flame or began to sparkle with gathered ice. Downer and Britton took shelter behind the car, just as Richards' animal army broke over the circle.
Go, go! It's now or never! I'm behind you!
Downer sprinted toward the circle. An Apache selfer collapsed under the weight of a score of biting jackrabbits. Apache began to dance, stomping through a morass of spiders and snakes. One of the Apache Aeromancers blazed lightning through the animals, scorching them in droves.
Let's get this over with! Secure the goddamn target, Keystone!
Main Wikiup whipped up into the air, support poles snapping, swept skyward by the casual sweep of a slender black arm. The mountain god crouched, 10 feet tall, its twisted man's body so dark that it absorbed the firelight. Its horned head reared. Behind it, the air shimmered slightly, as if heat were reflecting off hot asphalt. Britton's eyes widened. There was no speeding helicopter to obscure his vision this time. There could be no mistaking the rippling in the air. Richards' whispered animals were recoiling from the thing.
Damn it! Rictus, a little help here!
True Love spread his arms, and the ground all around them erupted. The Apache turned their guns to their feet as gray corpses swarmed upward, snatching ankles and thighs and pulling them flat. Britton knelt and snapped open a gate in front of the mountain god's face. Britton hauled the gate backward into its path, the edges slicing through its trailing heel and cutting it off. Tendrils of black mist escaped from the wound. It turned and fixed Britton with a hateful stare. Then its eyes flickered to the gate as Britton brought it around and slid it toward the creature. In a moment, it was upon him. Britton threw himself sideways, parrying a raking sweep of the thing's claws with his forearm. Britton felt the bone fracture beneath the skin, and tears leaked from the corners of his eyes. The Gehe's flesh was sleek as satin, a layer of softness stretched over iron. Cold emanated from its flesh, burning him where it contacted and traveling up the reverberation of his bones to numb him to the shoulder. It gnashed its teeth. Britton opened a gate between them as the mountain god attacked, snapping its jaws shut. Britton snapped the gate shut, severing one of the thing's horns. The creature stabbed forward with a clawed hand, overshooting Britton's head and catching him with the crook of its elbow. The creature sprang after him. As its claws plunged toward him, Britton opened another gate, cutting off the arm at the shoulder. The mountain god turned and waved its good arm at the air behind it. The strange shimmering stopped, brushed over by the creature's fingertips. Then it turned and bounded out of the circle so fast that it practically vanished. All around them, the Apache succumbed, dragged to the ground and strangled by their own dead ancestors.
Spread out! Don't let anyone past you! Whisper those damn chicken shit bunnies back here and get a perimeter set up!
Britton looked around the circle. There had been far more than 50, closer to 70, he guessed. The long hair had fooled his military-tuned mind.
Did you think they'd all be men? Did you think they'd all be the snarling killers you'd seen in those videos? Get real.
There were women, at least a dozen girls. In a few places, Britton could see elderly couples who had clung to one another before one of True Love's zombies had covered them. Chato sat zip-cuffed in the chilly mud outside trailer B6. Captain Day worked with two MPs, replacing the plastic with metal restraints before standing him up. Over his shoulder, two men in white lab coats were visible through one of Britton's gates. They stood around the spot where the mountain god had first appeared, taking samples of the air and shaking their heads over laptop computers. Captain Day turned to Fitzy.
On behalf of the Department of the Interior, thanks. This is really going to help us peel the onion and get down to the root of this insurgency.
It's my pleasure. I have to admit that even a stopped clock can be right twice a day.
You laugh.
It was as if Chato sensed his conflict.
What have you done today? Killed men for the crime of wanting to be free? For using the talents given to them by the Creator?
Shut the hell up!
You're a slave. All you did tonight was cement your bonds. You'll never know freedom. You think just because you can't see your prison bars that they're not there? Pretty jail's still a jail.
Sorry, he won't be laughing in a couple of hours, and the Tribal Council won't be laughing when he rolls over on them.
Britton remembered the strange shimmering he'd seen behind the snarling black creature.
That thing came from here, didn't it? That's the real reason we went after him. There's some kind of link. That's what you want him to tell you about.
Now it's your turn to shut the hell up. You've got some scrapes on you. Much as it would amuse me to leave you here in agony, you are government property, and it's my solemn duty to see you patched up. I'll radio for Physiomancer.
But Britton wasn't listening. He was thinking of men who were really just tools. He was thinking of pretty jails. Maybe it was time to run again.
Physiomancy is frequently credited as a healing art. This reputation is deserved, as its primary application is the knitting of broken flesh. But most students of the arcane do not fully appreciate that physiomancy is merely a neutral manipulation of live flesh. As readily as it can be used to knit, it can be used to tear. Such offensive physiomancy is commonly known as rending, and is among those magical practices specifically prohibited by amendment to the Geneva Convention and the McGower-Linden Act. Avery Whiting, Modern Arcana, Theory and Practice.
The screams kept him awake all night. He knew they were Chato's. They hadn't bothered to take Chato far. They'd gone to work on him immediately. Britton's schoolhouse by the Peapods had temporarily become their base of operations.
This is the man responsible for the murders you saw in those videos. This is the man who would have gladly seen Downer raped.
Britton, who now had no trouble sleeping through the goblins' magical attacks or the screaming return fire of the automatic defenses, was haunted by the tortured cries of this one man.
We're supposed to be the good guys. That's what gives us the right to judge selfers, because our way is better.
The thought propelled him to his feet and sent him racing out of the hooch. Two soldiers emerged from the trailer, silhouetted against the blackness, dragging something lumpen and wet into the light. A man followed them out, wiping his hands on his trousers. He moved toward Britton. The man almost collided with him in the darkness, then fell back a step in surprise. The light from the cigarette showed the pale, doughy cheeks and blue hospital scrubs of Captain Hayes. The physiomancer was covered in gore. His scrubs were so plastered with blood that they looked metallic under the moonlight. He gave Britton an exhausted smile.
You should get to bed. You're gonna be a busy boy tomorrow.
I can't do this anymore. I can't work with or for these people. No matter what Therese or the rest of the Shadow Covenant are doing, I have to go. I have to find a way out of here.
Fitzy finally came for him near sunset on the following day.
Got some more work for you. Follow me.
The cart bumped to a stop just as the sun was dipping below the horizon, washing all in shades of simmering orange. A broad field was stripped bare of plant growth, the dry ground randomly soaring upward into earthen bridges and ramparts. A giant length of wall ran 10 feet, trailing off into mud. A tank stood on it, empty and silent, treads peeking over the edge. Fitzy got out of the cart and beckoned to Britton, making his way toward a long wall of raised earth.
I was hoping for more time, but the old man says you've got to be ready to jump as early as tomorrow.
Fitzy paused at the wall's edge. A white sign admonishing all that only authorized personnel were permitted behind it had been driven into the ground.
Now, I know we normally use videos to give you a read on an area you're getting into, but this is an important run and the brass wanted to be absolutely sure. So this time, we're going to give you a simulated environment. You'll be gating it at sunset, so we need you to get it read now.
The other side of the wall was a hastily constructed mock-up of a hotel entrance. The white paint on the broad awning was badly chipped and pocked with bullet holes. The sliding glass doors were covered with metal strips. A circular driveway, broad enough to host a fleet of vehicles, sported barricades of tires topped with barbed wire. Toppled statues, their arms adorned with bronze feathers, lay heaped beside the doorway. Wooden masks obscured their faces.
This is where the council is hiding out? Or does this have something to do with how the Apache are getting their mountain guides over to the home plane? Maybe this is how they talk to the goblin tribes?
It's not your job to worry about what it is or isn't, Keystone. It's your job to familiarize yourself with this set and get your coven to the infill point on command. You're lucky. We were going to use this to run exercises, but it turns out Chato confirmed our suspicions, and we're going before his reporting gets stale. You have to admit, a physical mock-up beats the hell out of a video.
These aren't goblins, sir. These are Americans.
You're goddamn right they're not goblins. You better keep that thought foremost in your mind when we're running this op, son. Grabbing Chato is going to seem like a picnic compared to what we're going to face when we walk into the Viper's very nest.
Americans, sir.
Selfers. And therefore dead. Did you forget old tons of fun you tackled down in those sewers? Did you miss the point of those videos we showed you? You were not pardoned to pontificate. You were given a second chance to follow orders and do your damned job. Is that perfectly clear?
Britton stared at him for a moment, before turning back to the staged scenery before him. After a moment, Fitzy shifted uncomfortably behind him.
Got it?
Yes.
Are you sure? You've got it fixed.
Solid, sir. I'm good to go.
Britton brooded over his drink in the OC that night, the tension around him palpable. He could feel Downer's eyes on the back of his head. He was killing the joy she felt at her own burgeoning skill, and she resented it.
Please don't say anything. Just leave me alone tonight.
What is it now?
I'm in no mood, little girl.
Excuse me?
I'm warning you. Leave me the hell alone.
Easy, you two.
Shut the hell up!
What the hell is your problem tonight? Are you still pissed about the assault? Because you need to get the hell over that.
Forget it.
What then?
Nothing.
Tell me, or else get over yourself and apologize to Rictus.
Did you miss the screaming last night? Am I the only person on Earth who heard it?
That's not our business.
What the hell are you talking about? It's not only our business, it's our fault.
You don't know what happened.
No, you're right. I don't know what happened. But I'm not retarded, so I can hazard a fucking guess. And surprise, surprise, Fitzy had me prepped for our next stop.
Seriously? What was it? When do we go? What are we doing?
That's what you care about? Never mind the screams in the night. What's our next op?
Damned right that's what I care about. What is it?
Forget it. Fitzy probably doesn't want you to know.
Fuck that! You can't pull that crap. You have to tell us now.
Don't pretend you don't know. It's fucking Mescalero, all right? Are you happy now?
What, the reservation again?
Yeah. I recognize that casino or resort or whatever. You know, the one from the news.
I knew it. That's Apache cell for HQ. Holy crap! Chato talked. He rolled over and gave them up.
Are you kidding me? Do you realize what they did to him to get him to talk? You were crowing about protecting your country. You went on and on about narco-terrorists or pirates or whatever bullshit you were into. These are Americans. This is our own country. We're not going to China or Somalia, you idiot. We're going to New Mexico. They tortured that guy all night, and we lay right there next to it, and we didn't do anything.
Sometimes you have to break eggs to make an omelet. Did you forget the videos? They are selfers.
So were you just 5 damn minutes ago. And those videos are bullshit. Half the people we took out going after Chato were girls. Little fucking girls.
Britton took a step forward. An instant later, the mud floor rose up into a fist that gripped Britton's throat.
Don't. Not another step.
Britton opened a small gate, severing the fist at the wrist. The dirt fingers fell away from his neck. Then Britton felt his magic roll back, and he turned to Downer.
Yeah, that's right. You think you're such hot shit because Portamansi is so rare? Without it, you're just a bruiser, and there are 3 of us we can all suppress now.
Forget this. You can go rampaging through a reservation if you want. This isn't what I signed up for.
Britton froze at the sight. Fitzy knelt over Marty, who sprawled in the mud that had frozen hard in the cold air. The chief warrant officer's fist impacted the goblin's oversized head again and again. Behind Fitzy, 2 MPs stood impassively, carbines cradled in the crooks of their arms. And then Britton's legs were moving. He threw his shoulder into Fitzy, knocking the master suppressor off Marty's chest.
What the hell are you doing? Marty! Are you okay? Marty!
Britton looked up just as Fitzy's boot swung toward him. It was too late to dodge, but he managed to catch the blow mostly on his neck and shoulder.
I told you he wasn't supposed to drink with you. This little fucker was on his way here from the cache. Not sure what it is you people don't understand about orders, but we're gonna get that straightened out right now.
You're gonna beat him to death for trying to have a drink with his friends?
No, I'm gonna beat him to death for eating the eyes out of the still warm corpse of an American soldier. And when I'm done, I'm gonna teach you some manners.
The wheels clicked in Britton's mind. He remembered the young specialist's burned body in the cache, Teray standing by. Linko must have died.
Oh, God. Marty.
Good.
Fitzy reached down to grab Marty's ankle.
You love them so much? You can eat this piece of crap's eyes right after I kill him.
Britton's arm locked around his neck. He punched Fitzy hard in the kidney. And the chief warrant officer dropped Marty.
You'll have to kill me first.
The rest of Shadow Coven had exited the OC and stood open.